And it's very sobering, and vows. So let us pray. Lord, even as Isaiah said, I am a man of unclean lips. I am undone. So, Lord, I would ask for the coals from the altar, Lord, to touch these lips, that your word might be spoken. And it's in the name of Jesus, the Christ. Amen. The more sure word of prophecy. Two Peter. Can't help myself sometimes. Second Peter 1:16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, a more sure word of prophecy, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter, relating, Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, were on the Mount of Transfiguration. They had a little meeting. There's some that believe that that was Mount Hermon. With Moses and Elijah. And I kind of like it, you know, it's Peter, not knowing what to say, says. And I think today's Sunday school lesson should help us to be slower to speak. But Peter, I've got an idea. Let's build a tabernacle, one for Moses and one for Elijah and one for you, Lord. And that's when the cloud comes over and it says, listen up. God has a plan. I remember working in construction and one of my sometimes partner made some suggestions to the architect. So the superintendent comes storming up and he's going like, no cowboy action, you guys, no cowboy action. In other words, execute according to plan. Now, we have a plan, and we have an understanding, and we're not left in the dark. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Do you believe that? So that we are not guessing what is coming in the future. We don't know all the details, but we sure know the general direction of things. It's like when you go to somebody's house that you've never been before, they'll tell you, you know, you pass the mango tree, and then there's the big rock. Oh, okay, there's the mango tree, and there's the big rock. Well, as we see things fulfilled in prophecy, what do we know? We're getting closer to home. So what do we see now? Does anybody watch the news? What's happened in the last year? Well, just over a year ago, what did the Supreme Court decide? We should be aware of what's going on in the world, not caught up in it. We're told to watch and to pray. Some people just watch. The Supreme Court said that same-sex marriage is now the law of the land. And it's interesting because, again, how it relates to our lesson this morning on vows and oaths. Because essentially, we're saying marriage doesn't mean anything because we've completely removed it from the providence of what God says it is to be. Has violence increased? Just this morning there was a hack attack. A hacker was armed with a machete, a Syrian refugee in Germany. It's like nearly every day, what do we see? We see the earth being filled with violence. Oh. Is my heart failing me for fear of what's coming upon the earth? No. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But when we see these things, what should we do? Look up, because we know that redemption draws nigh. We should become more committed to redeeming the time that we have. So what do we know about prophecy? There was kind of the triumph of prophecy. Three prophets were more or less contemporary. Jeremiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel. And I would suggest that there are some very definite parallels to what was happening then to what's happening now. What happened? The southern kingdom, Judah, came under God's judgment. Was it a sudden thing? No, it had been going on for years. The debt had been accumulating. But what were the prophets telling the people? Everything's cool. Except for that Jeremiah guy. He said, no, it's not cool. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, is going to come. Don't resist. Judgment begins at the house of God. Interestingly enough, book of Revelation. It's not the book of confusion. It's not the book of concealment. It's not the book of doom and gloom and make you afraid, although it should make you sober. And it's the only book that promises a blessing for reading it. And John was told to write, what, three things? The things that you have seen. What did he see? He saw the glorified Christ. The same guy who used to lean against Jesus and use him as a pillow fell at his feet as though dead. So he wrote that. And to write the things which are. And we have the letters to the seven churches, which, interestingly enough, are all located in Asia. What country now encompasses that territory? Turkey. Oh. And the last church is the church of Laodicea. The people rule. And we find that Jesus is on the outside, knocking to see if anybody in the church hears his voice. Interestingly enough, I find it to be the only positive confessing church. They say, we're rich and increased with goods. We don't need anything. That's not what Jesus says, though, is it? So where are we? The prophet Ezekiel, let's turn to Ezekiel 38. Now, Ezekiel was a prophet to the exiles. He was of the priestly family. He was a prophet to the exiles that had been carried away to Babylon. And his more or less contemporary, Daniel, was actually in the court of King Nebuchadnezzar. And we'll read that, because Daniel is a very key prophet. Ezekiel 38, but 36, it's talking about the restoration of Israel. It's talking about taking two sticks and writing Israel on one and Judah on the other, and they became one stick in his hand. And there's one restored Israel. And they're returned to the land. Has that prophecy been fulfilled? Okay. The dry bones live. You know, we put them together. Sometimes they don't connect in the right place. The head bone's connected to the tailbone or something like that. But Ezekiel 38. It specifically says that it's in the what? When is it going to be? Says it's going to be a long time in the latter days. Who? Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O God, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, lead you out with all armies, horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Now, let's look at the cast of characters here in verse 5. Persia. Who's Persia? Iran. You know, Iran has the same root as Aryan. What were the Nazis seeking? Pure Aryan blood. For what that's worth. Ethiopia or Kush, Libya, Put. Where did the weapons in Libya go? When Ambassador Stevens died, what did he know that was inconvenient for some? All with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his troops, the house of Togarma. So this, written like 2,500 years ago, is describing what's going on right now in Syria and Turkey and Iran. Prepare yourselves and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. After many days you will be visited. In the latter years you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword. It's amazing. Israel 1948, Israel was restored. What did Jesus say concerning the fig tree? Learn a lesson. When you see it, this generation will not pass away. And gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which have long been desolate, they were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. You will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops, and many peoples with you. You've probably all heard of the major finds of natural gas off the coast of Israel. Anybody not heard of that? An oil discovered in the Golan Heights. And the offer of cousin Vladimir to Benjamin Netanyahu to help them develop and market their resources. To which he responded, thanks, but no thanks. We are looking at the fulfillment of prophecy in our day. And what has just happened in Turkey, the coup, I've heard that, 10,000 people are under arrest and 60,000 people or more have been suspended from their jobs. Schools have been closed, hospitals have been closed, many facilities have been closed. And that both the ruling party and the loyal opposition are condemning the coup, and it's resulting in a consolidation of power. Erdogan is what? Is an Islamist. It's interesting, Turkey and the Ottoman Empire. We're going to go to the book of Daniel, follows Ezekiel, and let's go to, because this is a really key, as it were, a skeletal prophecy in Daniel 2. So old King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And it troubled him. So he calls all his wise men and astrologers, and you know the story. What does he say? Tell me the dream. Tell me what it means. To which they respond quite reasonably. I mean, if somebody said, hey, tell me what I dreamt last night, you'd go like, you got to be kidding. To which Nebuchadnezzar says, more or less, if you can't do that, what good are you? And they were all under a death sentence. And Daniel says, can we get just a little bit of time here? And he and his friends prayed, and what God revealed, the dream Nebuchadnezzar had, and its meaning. So what was the dream, basically? You saw what? A head of gold. Silver. Bronze. Iron mingled with clay. The idol has feet of clay. That's where that expression comes from. And then Daniel interpreted it. He said, you, King Nebuchadnezzar, are that head of gold. But after you, what? There will arise an inferior kingdom, signified by silver, And that was who? The Medes and the Persians. Followed by the Grecian Empire, Alexander. Alexander swept through the known world like a mighty rushing wind. And he died at Babylon. Followed by the Romans. Now, interestingly enough, we see two legs in Rome and two feet. And many have said, the European Union, and now what has happened? Britain, England, not the UK, because it may be the disunion of the kingdoms, has voted to leave the EU. So there were two capitals to Rome. Rome and what? Constantinople. Which is where? It's just on the across the Bosphorus, which was then known as Byzantium after, and it fell to the Turks, the Ottoman Empire. And what's it known as today? Istanbul. So where have the refugees, in large part, been going entering Europe? Through Turkey. Interestingly enough, that's a fight that goes way back. The Turks attempting, the Ottoman Empire attempting to conquer Europe. And it was in Romania that Vlad the Impaler, who had been held or educated in by the Ottoman Empire. You see, that's the Romans did the same thing. To ensure, as a client king, we'll take your children, your sons, and we'll take them, say, to Rome and educate them. That way, that'll help to ensure your compliance with our policies. That's where some people think Dracula, it means son of a dragon. By the Holy Roman Empire, Emperor, he was initiated into the order of the dragon. Just a little aside. But we've seen this pressed by the East to enter and gain control of Europe. And now what is happening? It's happened. What they couldn't do by force, they've now done by like a huge wave. Do we see prophecy fulfilled? So what do we know then? Part of navigation is knowing where you're starting from, knowing where you want to go, that helps, and knowing where you are at the present time. And one method is what they call dead reckoning. And it's just, I'm going to head in this direction, and I'll just travel in that direction, which might work and might get you dead, too. Because there's other influences that can affect your course. In the ocean, there can be currents that cause you to drift off of your course. So it's important to have waypoints or landmarks. Do we have any waypoints or landmarks? we should not be surprised by what's happening in the world. We should be able to use current situations as a tool for evangelism. I mean, there are people that are just oblivious. And that's one of the signs. What did Peter say? That there'll be scoffers. Oh, everything just continues as it has always. You know, it's just always been like this. Okay, maybe, but I don't think so. What did Jesus say? He cited two times of judgment. The days of Noah. And there are people that it was just business as usual. That's what he said. They were marrying, giving in marriage, throwing parties, eating, drinking. Until what? The day Noah entered the ark. Who shut the door? You see, there's appointed times and seasons for all things. And we don't know the day or the hour. Let's just briefly go to Acts 1. Start at verse 4. Well, verse 3. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, Jesus, for 40 days, what? After the resurrection. He is walking and talking and educating the apostles and the disciples. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, that's not going to happen. No, he didn't say that. He said, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And of course, on the day of Pentecost meaning 50, these were all feast days of the Lord. The Jews memorialized the giving of the law on Mount Sinai at Pentecost. See, Jesus he rode on the 10th of Nisan when the Passover lamb was selected out of the flock, a lamb without blemish of the first. Jesus rode in on what we call Palm Sunday. On the 14th of Nisan, the Passover lamb was slain, and not a bone of it was to be broken. Oh, what did John the Baptist say? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And Passover, then began the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because leaven is a type of sin, and Jesus was buried in unleavened bread and raised at first fruits because he is the first born from the dead. And that's really interesting because, you know, the graves were opened. You kind of read about that in Acts 20. You know, hey, didn't we just bury you? And it's after Jesus rose. And then 50 days later was Pentecost. You see, these were the feasts, not a visit, the feasts of the Lord. They were divine appointments that were to be kept by the Lord. Jesus kept those. What happened on the giving of the law? Well, Moses came down, and what did he hear? Party. Broke the tablets. And how many people died that day? How many got saved on the day of Pentecost? Nothing to see here, folks. This is all coincidence. Let's turn to the book of Luke. Jesus, following his baptism by John. Now John was what? The son of a priest. And how old were you when you to enter the office of priesthood? 30. So Jesus, being about 30 years old, he goes, and he's baptized by John, his cousin. Well, we won't. So many bunny trails. It's kind of like Pokemon Go. Well, no. I wasn't going to go there, but I did. But we won't go there. Don't go there. So after his baptism, he's led of the Spirit to be tempted for 40 days, nights, in the wilderness of the devil. How does he respond in all temptation? He was tempted, even as we are. Three temptations: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Satan's like a fisherman. He knows the bait that catches them. But he didn't get Jesus, did he? So Jesus, after his temptation, he goes back to hometown of Nazareth. And chapter 4 of Luke, I'll start at 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was. So Jesus was kind of a regular at synagogue, wasn't he? It wasn't an occasional visitor. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it is written. Quote, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." But let's go to where he was reading from. Does anybody know? Isaiah 61. Well, 61. And see, because Jesus stopped in mid-sentence. In verse 2 of Isaiah 61, we read again, yes, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And read what it says then. "The day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." So where are we right now? The acceptable year of the Lord. But what is to follow? the day of vengeance of our God. We need to proclaim the only hope for mankind. The only hope. It's not in politics. It's not even in the church. It's in the coming King, the Lord Jesus Christ. So back to Daniel. 2 feet. Daniel then understood in the ninth chapter, and some people are, it's so detailed, and we're not going to go through all the details, that people say, well, that had to be written after the fact. You know? But Daniel was told that there were 70 sevens determined upon who? His people. Who are his people? The Jews. Well, let's just turn there. Chapter 9, verse 20. Now, what is Daniel doing? Daniel's praying and then confessing his sin. He's not saying, Lord, I thank you that I'm righteous. Was Daniel one of the most righteous men that ever lived? But he's not proclaiming his righteousness. He's confessing his sins and the sins of his people. So he gets the message. Now, while I was speaking, praying, confessing my sin and the sins of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the commandment went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved, therefore consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. Where's that? To finish the transgression, to make an end of sin. Whoa. To make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. So, is there a clearly established time frame reference for Messiah to come? Absolutely. If you like to read and research these things, dig a little deeper, I would recommend to you Sir Robert Anderson, who died about 100 years ago. Was a great Christian of the 19th century, and wrote, among other things, The Coming Prince. But he examines this in minute detail. He was an investigator with Scotland Yard. He was trained as a lawyer and then served as an investigator for many years. Anyone then was knighted. And he was a Christian. And he believed in prophecy. To the day, Nisan 10th, Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode in on the colt of a donkey, to the day it was fulfilled. Will God fulfill prophecy in the future? Is God faithful? So we know that there's the remaining 70th week. The time of Jacob's troubles. The time that really all hell will break loose on earth. And from the book of Revelation, you don't see the church after the third chapter, do you? Until the end. Why? Well, I might suggest that as Lot, as were the days of Lot, what happened with Lot? Well, Uncle Abraham, after getting a promise of a son, Isaac, Yitzhak, what does that mean? Laughter. Read Psalm 2. What does God do? God laughs. Because he knows the end from the beginning. But he interceded for Sodom, the cities of the plain, didn't he? Where he knew his nephew Lot was. So he gets down to 10. And think about it. The angels come when we know what happened and we know what was going on in Sodom. And if there's a particular sin that takes its name from Sodom. And so in the morning, the angels tell Lot, go round up everybody and get out. So Lot went to where? To his son-in-law's. And he seemed as one that jested. It's like a joke. Oh, Daddy Lot, really? So a couple of angels came in last night and they're going to destroy the place. Yeah. Well, let me have a cup of coffee first. Think about it. They perished in Sodom. Had they left with Lot, their lives would have been preserved. How much more is what the message we should share today? Heed the warning. And we know that the presence of Lot in Sodom hindered the judgment that God had determined upon the place. What did the angels do? They had to grab him by the scruff of the neck and give him a boot in the backside and say, come on, get out of here, because we can't do what we came here to do until you're gone. Now, it might not be the most flattering, but is that perhaps a picture of the church? The day of vengeance of our God. Because we're not appointed to wrath. Oh, we get wrath. The world hates us. Has anybody noticed that? And I don't just mean somebody, because you got your little, you know, your little fish on your bumper sticker, and somebody cuts you off in the parking lot at Walmart and pulls it in front of you. Well, bless you. No. We have brothers and sisters that are being persecuted and dying, being tortured for the name, what? For the name of Jesus. And if we get a hangnail, it's like, why, God, did you let this happen to me? We need to understand the times that we live in. Because you know what? Well, it's the old Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times. Do we live in interesting times? Yeah. Again, in the book of Daniel, in the 12th chapter, 4th verse, he says, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. There's a whole industry now. What do they call it? Information technology. The little cell phone has more computing power than the Apollo missions that went to the moon. Yeah, my generation went to the moon, you know, with slide rules, went into space, and some came back. That's a joke. Some people are still lost in space. There's a promise that the wise will understand. You want to be wise? Do you want to know what's going on? What do you have to do to be wise? Do you need to join a secret society like the Masons? Or the Rosicrucians? No. What does James say? Does any man lack wisdom? Well, I qualify. What do? Ask of God. You ever watch an author be interviewed concerning the book he wrote on a TV show, maybe? What do authors that wrote books like to do? Talk about the book they wrote. Who wrote this book? God, the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God is moved by the Spirit. Gave us this word. The word of God is so awesome. It is so. Is Chuck Missler? It's a message from outside. It's authenticated by. There's so many levels in it. It's not just by chance. It is the word of God. That's what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. He said, thank God that the message you heard from us, you didn't receive it as a message of men, but as the word of God that effectually works in you also that believe. That's what Peter said, being born again, not by corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. Now, when we talk about seed, you can go all the way back. Everything brings forth according to its kind. We're talking about the increase of knowledge. We're talking about the times as were the days of Noah. And there's some weird stuff that some people think went on then. The sons of God, the Neha Elohim, and the daughters of men. But let's turn back to Daniel and his interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Verse 43, chapter 2, verse 43. As you saw iron mingled with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. Huh? So, who is this non-man seed? What is going on right now? It's not going on 100 years ago. Genetic engineering. Are you ready for an upgrade? Because that goes back to the promise. You shall not surely die. The tree of knowledge. Fruit of good and evil. Well, that apple's off the tree, so to speak. And that is what all the secret societies present. Is the offer. The Masons. The Mormons. But God's book is open to those, to whosoever will. We know the game, and we know who wins. That old dragon that is the liar and deceiver from the beginning, the earth is his footstool. Where do you put your feet? You put your feet down on the footstool. Earth is the OK Corral where God defeated Satan. The whole creation groans. Anybody here getting younger? Some more childish, but... randomness and disorder increases. That's why evolution is talking about, interesting, what is the Masonic message? Order out of chaos. What is evolution? Bunch of pond scum, and there you are, after evolving. But that is contradicted by the laws of thermodynamics. It's contradicted when I look in the closet, because things just seem to kind of go down by themselves. That's what Jesus said. You know, moth eats, rust corrupts. This whole creation is suffering from the result of the fall and the rebellion of Lucifer, but Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And that's what's at the door, the end of the age. We know there's going to be great deception at the end of the age. That would deceive the very elect if it were possible. Receive the love of the truth. Because there comes a point where if you don't want the truth, God will give you over to a reprobate mind. God will send strong delusion because you receive not the love of the truth. Do we have a message? Do we have a message of hope? That's right. And hopefully this is getting the attention of people. Things are not just as they always have been. It's like the song, Buffalo Springfield. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. Well, actually, it's becoming clearer every day. We need to share the only message of hope for this world. And that's in the coming king. Two choices. They were both guilty. One's eternity is separated from God. The other, from that evening forward, has been with Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, I highly recommend it. But how whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? But how shall they call upon him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear except to be a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings, good news. That's what we should be doing. Sharing, seizing every opportunity to be instant in season and out of season, to share the hope that we have in Jesus. There is no other hope. I'm going to close. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray that your word accomplishes that purpose for which you send it forth and does not return void. We would pray, Lord, for the food in the time of fellowship. And Lord, as in the coming days and weeks, Lord, give us opportunities. Give us divine appointments. that we might speak your word and make differences in eternal destinies. And it's in Jesus' name we ask that. Amen. If anybody would like prayer, the elders will be up here. So, thank you. Thank you.